crazy.
Yes.
All right.
That was a good buckle up sound.
I kept going though. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was
she's multiple belts.
Too many.
That's how
I was
exciting.
Thinking, like, over and then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like when you get in planes, it goes over the one side, then the one side, and you buckle in the middle.
What planes are you flying?
What?
Yeah, it's like when you're a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
That plane, not the normal plane.
Say American really changed their
yeah.
They want you sort of secure. Wow, man, I can't talk. And we're off to a good start. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your
ears into.
Best slogan we've come up with and yes. then stuck with. Because yeah. it's been a year. We're almost at the year.
We are almost at the year. And yeah. we've got some fun plans.
Mm-hmm. You know, this podcast.
There was a wink in there. You guys couldn't hear it.
No, they saw it.
Because it's a silent wink.
There's the video feed they're yeah. watching. Mm-hmm. They got it. Don't yeah. worry. This is the podcast where we talk about movies.
Yes.
TV shows.
That's the one.
Comics.
A lot of the time.
Phantoms.
Time travel. Space.
Space.
We do like to talk about space. Mm-hmm.
But today we're talking about something really special. We've been looking forward to
yes,
like 3 years, 4 years. I don't know how long they've been teasing this, but yeah. the Wonder Woman movie. And for that, we brought on a very special guest, Miss Roxy Stryer. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Have you?
Yeah, a little offended it took you guys as long to ask me.
Hey, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Hold on. That's not how this played out. So, for the kids at home, who are you?
I'm Roxy Stryer, and that's who I am.
Yes.
We know each other from Source Fed because you guys had me on at your show over there, and
yes.
then I'm over at Screen Junkies. I've had you guys over there.
Hell yeah.
Now we're the best of friends.
Hell yeah. It's a big old crossover, and now we're meeting in the new home.
We're the
yeah.
crossover mm-hmm. episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's taking a minute to happen, but it's happening, kids.
It's years of work.
yeah.
And we're here. A little business up top really quick. You can find all the info for Only Stupid Answers at onlystupidanswers.com. That has
yes.
all of our social, like Twitter. It's Only Stupid Answers, but
you got the vows from stupid.
There you
yes.
go. Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, r/onlystupidanswers. And now mm-hmm. I'll go in there and make sure I add it, but there's a Slack group.
Yay.
Somebody with a name made it, and they made it. And there's a bunch of people in there. Slack is like, for most people who don't know, Slack is like Skype, but without the video and voice call. It's just it's an Insta chat. It's like
yeah.
AOL if you really, really miss AOL chat, AIM. So,
who doesn't miss AOL chat? Roxy's
like
making a face.
It's not like Skype at all. Skype is the video portion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Insta message part.
It's like text.
It's like texting.
The group text.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can join it with Only Stupid Answers, and you guys all chat about Only Stupid Answers stuff. I actually asked for some...
There's so many places for people to talk about
I
us.
I know, right? I want you all spread out, and you guys don't know about each other, and then you all meet one day.
Yeah.
And it'll be weird, like weird strange cousins. Anyways, you can listen. You can find all the places to listen to us as well there, like iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music.
Stitcher,
iHeartRadio, way too many places.
The works, as they say.
But at the top of every episode, DJ, what do we like to do?
Well, listen, we really like it when you go on to iTunes mm-hmm. specifically and give us a 5-star review specifically.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Yes.
So these are some 5-star reviews that we've gotten. And by the way, guys, we read all of those and we love them, even if we don't read them on the podcast. They're the best. So
yeah.
this one is hell yeah, real good, 5 stars by Lovey.
Mm-hmm.
I keep loving this podcast. Not many of my friends like to talk about comics and movies and all that nerdy stuff, so these boys make my superhero loving heart full and always make my disgusting commute on the New York City subways so much better. Thanks a bunch. Hey,
you got bad friends.
Friends. You should replace them. And also, hi from New York City.
I'm really excited you read the first comment because I want to read the second one really bad.
Also, I should point out that there's a hell yeah in the title of both of them.
They are, because the second one says
serendipity.
It says Kite Man Hell Yeah. Little shout out Batman Tom King. Real good. This is from one pair of moist little ears. That's like, damn, they got that before anybody else.
Yeah.
best. Oh, by the way, Roxy's really quick. DJ and I are the boy people. I don't want to explain it. And then the people who listen to us are the moist little ears. I can't even look you in the eyes as I say this.
Nothing worse than moist, man.
Hey, no, the moist ears are the... moist is the part that throws you off?
Uh-huh. Imagine people, little ears. Yeah. How cute is that? Little ears
Why
out there.
Why do they gotta be moist?
Moist because they're sweaty because of headphones.
It's better than breath.
Uh-huh.
Breath.
Oh, we'll fit that in there somewhere. But anyways, we got a comment from one pair of moist... Lily Years. Best podcast about Kite Man, hell yeah. And also all other comics and characters, movies, time travel, ghosts, oh my. Starring the two best boy people, Sam Bash and DJ Woldridge. Definitely recommend for moist little ears. That was one of my favorite comments. Yeah. I think that's
going to go into the Comet Hall of Fame.
Yes.
We might reread it on our year anniversary episode, but probably not.
We can get it on a plaque.
We should plaque it.
We should plaque it. Ooh, plaque it.
Ooh,
plaque it. Go ahead and plaque it. But Roxy, right at the top of every episode, there's a few things we do. And one of our favorite things we like to do is talk about what we're into this week. It could be movies, TV shows, comics, or just you into something new. You doing volleyball now?
Wow. Yeah. Volleyball.
Volleyball.
I would suck so hard. I would not be good at volleyball.
All those in shape people at the goddamn Venice Beach doing volleyball. I can't keep up with
them. Screw them.
Yeah. What about you? What are you into?
Okay. So it's hard to ask somebody who watches 50 hours of content a week what new thing they're into because I'm into a bunch of new things. But last night, I finally, for the first time, watched Edge of 17, which I hadn't seen.
Okay.
Which was really That's exciting with Hailee Steinfeld.
Steinfeld, who, if you're like me and did not know, she's a pop star now, apparently.
Yes, she is.
I just knew her from True Grit.
And they're eyeing her for the Transformers spinoff that came out this week.
Bumblebee?
Yeah, which I actually am bummed about because she's so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's so talented. And I couldn't believe that was, if you like Boyhood, you'll mm-hmm. definitely like this because it was kind of like slice of life film-esque, but also not that much going on. Just okay. You love the characters, and it was really strong.
Very is it cool. Quirky, kind of like Juno a little bit, or is
totally.
It
okay? Totally. It was so weird, and I was shocked. I was shocked with some of the things that I was like, "Wow, I didn't know somebody else thought that or could write that." And I feel that exact same way, but you're kind of embarrassed to say it out loud. Uh-huh. And they totally nailed it. And I had heard about it because it ran the festival circuit, yeah. And it was doing pretty well. But I haven't heard that many people talk about it. I just kind of gave it a shot. It was 99 cents on Amazon.
Perfect.
Nice. And I rented it and I loved it.
Yeah, it's Hailee Steinfeld, Woody Harrelson, anybody else?
And he's so good in that. Yeah. He is so good in that film. Their relationship is incredible. He's a teacher, she's a student, not in that kind of way, because I don't know why I said that and it made it sound like something was going on there. Just a teacher and a student.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
That's just their titles. Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. I definitely think you guys should check it out.
It was on the plane. It was on the plane back from something that I was at, and I wanted to watch it, but then I fell asleep.
It's only an hour and 45 minutes.
Lucky
so
boy being able to fall asleep on the plane.
I sleep on every plane.
That's like you could be traveling pretty close and still get it in.
I know. Yeah.
And get a nap.
I could.
How long are your naps?
They're pretty long.
Yeah.
They're impressive. But I am traveling next week, so I could watch actually, by the time this is up, I should be traveling.
Oh.
So I could watch it then. There we go. I'll download it.
Because
it looks like a good movie, and I wanted to see
it. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's really underratedly good. And there's no way you can't smile.
I'm excited. I love smiling.
Oh, no, and that that's guy your from Glee. The guy from Glee that...
The teacher?
No. He came on later in the seasons, like
the
Blake
one guy
or
from
something.
Glee.
Darren? Chris?
No, not Darren Chris. That's Blaine. I watched all the season. I think his name's Blake Jenner or Blake something that isn't a Kardashian last name that I didn't just make up.
Oops. Well, yeah, because that's what came up.
No,
really? Wait.
Jenner is guy from...
No, it is. It's Blake Jenner. Oh, my God.
He's the guy from Everybody Wants Some, right?
Yeah, Pretty Boy.
Chin?
Yes.
He was formerly married to Melissa Benoist?
Yes.
That guy's chin is magical.
I'm trying to get an angle so I could see this chin.
No, he wasn't married to Melissa Benoist. It was the guy that was on Supergirl that was Cat Grant's...
So that's the same guy?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the guy on Supergirl was that blondie.
Yeah, it's Blake Jenner. Did you show her the picture you got pulled up? Because you're talking about two different people then, because Blake Jenner is that boy.
Yeah, that's Blake Jenner.
Yes.
That's not Melissa Benoist.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the search term that pops up first.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's Cat Grant's son that was on that one episode of Supergirl that is also Melissa Benoist's former...
And they met on Glee.
Met on Glee.
And now she's met another guy
with another TV show. I feel like that's got to be so uncomfortable. Yeah. don't date like that. That can't be good. Not to judge.
Yeah.
Just seems
Let's all judge messy. Melissa Benoist for a second.
Well, she's so great.
It's also Keira Sedgwick, isn't it? So that's good.
There you go.
She's
good
awesome.
Segue, Roxy.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate
us off that.
Well, my one qualm with the movie, if you guys have seen it, is that her romantic interest, the whole time I was like, this dude has got to be, he's playing high school, so he's supposed to be like, I don't know, 17, 16.
But he looks 44.
I was like, oh my God, this guy has got to be older than that. He's really looking old. And he is Asian. And I feel like people think they can get away with it sometimes. If somebody's Asian, they're like, oh, he looks young.
Yeah.
Trust me, he did not. And I looked it up and he's 32 years old. And I was like, wow. Yeah. And she's 20. So when they shot this, she was probably 18. I was like, ooh.
That makes me uncomfortable, man. You got to keep it within the 10 years. You got to keep it within the 10 years.
I love all the power rangers. For my comfort level.
Everybody, keep your dating life within 10 years to make me feel comfortable.
Make DJ feel comfortable. Yeah, it's not about you.
No.
What are you talking about?
Just make me feel comfortable.
No, I was going to say, all the Power Rangers, it's like, that's a lot of 5 o'clock shadows there. You guys, I don't remember a lot of teenagers doing that.
Also, you know, there's a lot of, maybe my high school experience was different, but like, there's a lot of jacked high schoolers in these movies that I'm like, Do you even have enough testosterone at this point to accomplish what's going on there? Like,
yeah.
You never know.
Maybe they do.
I don't know.
We'll do an episode on buff teens. Yeah. We'll do an episode on buff teens and so we can talk about it. But speaking of buff teens, DJ, what are you into this week?
Good segue.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Man, this week has been so crazy busy. I read the most recent issue of Extremity. Have I talked about Extremity on this podcast?
I don't think so.
This is a perfect time to do that. Extremity is a comic published by Skybound, who Sam and I just visited recently.
I was going to use a segue after that. I was like, hey, you should go check out the new video we did with Skybound.
The opening of that is very funny. Speaking of Sam sleeping, Sam went on a grand adventure with them. I just showed up to talk about one of their new comics.
Yeah, no, it's they have this new volume out for Horizon. It's an ongoing series for Skybound, but I got to meet the writer and the artist, and we did this really cool interview that when I was asking questions, the artist was making something a fan requested, so he made a Rick Grimes Ghost Rider combo, and it was real cool. Also, just seeing an artist do that, it was like really hard not to get distracted when the writer, who was really like, he just was so passionate, like hearing him being so passionate, seeing all this talent right there, I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. And we were in this little tiny corner of a comic shop. It was really fun. It was like this 2-day trip, and we went down to San Diego. Anyway,
Skybound publishes a comic, Extremity, which is written and drawn by Daniel Warren Johnson. It's an incredible book. It takes place, it's kind of like a sci-fi story in a world where, it might be our world in the far future, where like segments of land have just floated in the sky, and so there's a division between the people that are stuck back on the ground and people that live on the floating land masses, and this one family is raided, and this girl who's a very talented artist gets her hand cut off, her drawing hand cut off, and so it's a revenge tale as the family tries to go to all the people that were involved in that and murder them brutally, and they introduce a really cool robot character named Shiloh, and it's just gorgeous. Daniel Warren Johnson is just, it's a beautiful book. So I highly recommend it. I think the most recent issue is 3. 4 should be coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
So give that a look.
Everyone's talking about it.
What?
That breaks my heart.
That she gets her hand. Yeah, it's real sad. Yeah. It's super violent, too. The book is incredibly violent.
Why would you do that to somebody, man?
Because they're mean. Because they're evil.
Because it's a hero's journey.
It's also kind of about is revenge ever really worth it? Like, does it? Because it doesn't fix anything.
Sometimes it feels so good.
Yeah.
But does it help?
But does
find
it
out happen? In Skybound's Extremity. You can pick up the next issue probably soon. Mm-hmm. Boy, anything else? Are you doing it?
No.
You've been a busy boy. Check out his social media at DJ Talks Trash for more info. But I've been owning your comic stuff. You've been working on comic stuff.
Comic stuff coming soon. More updates on that soon. I wish I could give you an update now, but I can't.
In the studio, you can see just little things around. And
there's a bunch of, I've got a stack of things in the corner. But those should be shipping out incredibly soon.
But for me, real quick, I've just started Master of None. I gave it another chance.
Good.
And it's been good. I don't think I've laughed out loud yet, but I find it entertaining.
Yes.
And I love the actors. I mean, because I know it's
Aziz Ansari.
His real parents.
Yeah.
In the episode of the parents.
His dad's hilarious.
His dad is. And he's like so just cheeky and fun. And like, I love that like point of view of like you see where. And the other guy, his best friend in that episode, is the other creator of the show, right?
Yes.
Alan something?
Alan Yang. I don't know if Alan Yang shows up in the show.
Oh, he doesn't? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's. No offense.
I think so.
Yeah. Let me check really quick, because he doesn't seem, no offense, he doesn't seem like the best actor, especially next to Aziz Ansari, who's very good.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this must be like a creative type who's just like, doesn't want to be an actor, but it's a really fun like take on like where they come from and like their point of view of being first generation from immigrant parents. And I'm like, this is cool. Like, this is a really cool story. But
now it's going to be so sad if it's not him and you're just like, but he's not the best actor, but it's okay. Yeah. Ooh, he's an amazing creator.
Yeah. Oh, but he's not the creator. Whoops.
Oops. But H. John Benjamin showed up for a second, and I love him.
He shows up in season 2. Season 2 has 2 of my favorite episodes of television, maybe ever. But I really hate the ending of that season.
Oops.
Have you seen it?
I saw season one. Uh-huh. I haven't started season two yet because I only like to do one Netflix binge at a time, and I'm Kimmy Schmidting right now.
Oh. Nice. Very
so
cool.
When I'm done with Kimmy Schmidt, I just Grace and Frankie'd. I'm Kimmy Schmidting.
Okay.
I've only got like 4
more
episodes.
You do watch a lot of things.
Yeah. So I have to wait till I'm done, but I did not love season one.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling like I'm dragging my feet going into season two.
No, that's fair. Did you like the parents episode where they...
They were awesome.
Yeah.
They're one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah.
So I loved that.
There's a couple episodes where you get to see there's 2 episodes that don't focus on Dev at all, and they're the best episodes. And then there's this romance with a girl that's married that makes them, and they're kind of like them trying to figure out, because she's engaged, and they're kind of into each other, her and Dev, even though she's engaged to somebody else, and it makes them both look like selfish assholes. Mm-hmm. And they never really, like, I don't know if the show realizes that they both look like really selfish assholes. Like, they're both very concerned about their own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Aziz is pretty self-aware. I feel like he definitely, the show
the way
knows.
It resolves,
really?
It makes it feel like, hey, isn't this a star-crossed thing? It's like, yeah, but you're both kind of being pricks. Like, maybe.
Mm-hmm. All I keep hearing about is that Thanksgiving episode, Doe.
It's amazing.
Really?
Really good. That's one of the episodes, and the other one is New York, I Love You, which is kind of bounces around different people in New York, and that's really great.
That is not the creator of the show. He's just not my favorite actor.
Yeah.
He is just not my favorite actor. Interesting story.
Bummer.
Anyways, comics. I read a few. Man, R.L. Stein's having so much fun with Man-Thing. He does Man-Thing over at Marvel. It's just a Swamp Thing-like monster. And at the end of every issue, R.L. Stein writes... R.L. Stein writes a mini short story that's just like a little horror short, and they're always so fun. Saga came out with a new issue that I really like. Secret Empire is going on, and I can't care. I don't care, because they just introduced this element where I'm like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't even good writing. It's just like, this is stupid. And I'm mad about it. And also, Teen Titans just did this crazy crossover with the Titans run, so you have Nightwing in there, and Deathstroke, which I caught up on. Actually, sorry, I caught up on all of Rebirth Deathstroke, which is up for an Eisner Award. It's like going to hopefully win.
Yeah.
Christopher Priest is amazing.
Yep.
It's a great series.
He did one of the all-time great Black Panther runs.
It is so good. Yeah. It is such a good read. Anyways, that Lazarus contract ended. It was so stupid. Like, it ended in such a dumb way. Like, nothing happened for the entire, like, series, except for you realize that Damien's a dick.
I thought you were going a very different direction
with
that. He seemed excited. Yeah, he was smiling while he said it. It was weird.
You find out that Damien's a huge fucking dick. Like,
yes.
He is a huge... It gets into time travel garbage. So you meet the old Titans. I'm going to spoil it for you. Mind if I do that? Because I love spoiling things for people. You meet the old Titans, so you meet young Wally, whatever. Damien's like, you know what? Time travel garbage. So he punches Wally in the chest, stops his heart, so future Wally dies, and you're just like, wait a minute, what? And then, like, he resuscitates and brings back the normal Wally, and you know that now redhead Wally has a pacemaker, and he can't be the Flash anymore. And you're like, that's fucking stupid. What just happened? Everything that happened right now, Damien's just an asshole. So there, I got my little vent out.
Yeah.
I read that, and I was like, I need to talk to somebody, but no one's reading this, and I need to talk about it, because it's
that's
so stupid.
That's why this podcast exists, like, for people in New York that have train rides, but no friends.
Yes. Sweaty train rides. No, that's not them.
Yeah.
They wasn't sweaty. I just imagined
they're,
the subway.
They're sweating. Right. There's nobody around them.
They're
on the train the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Moist.
Also, Wonder Woman Annual had a great little... They're a bunch of short stories.
Yes.
And you see how Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman met. And it was so sweet. It's so...
Very cool.
It's so sweet. But speaking of... We want to talk about Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So,
very much so.
Well, before we get into that, I want to talk about something really quick. You mind if I talk about something really quick?
Sure.
It was kind of cool.
Convince me.
Okay, think about this.
Yes.
You love dogs, right?
Who doesn't love dogs?
Exactly. And you want to treat your dogs the best way possible, right? You want to give them everything.
Yes.
Because you know what? They're worth it.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, most of the time. Sometimes they can be kind of shitty, but let's be honest.
Some dogs are shitty, usually the parents' fault.
But you know what? You always want to rain gifts down on your dog, because dogs make our lives happier. So you know what? Why not make their lives happier with walking them even more often? And you can make it easier on yourself by using this awesome service called WAG. What you're going to say in a second is, what's WAG, Sam? And I'm going to say, DJ, let me tell you, okay? Because this is really cool.
Sam.
Yes.
What's WAG?
Well, we're already 10 steps ahead of that. You got to catch.
I'm sorry.
It's an on-demand dog walking service, and this is a private dog walking service. You're not going to have your dog walked by with a bunch of other dogs where they're going to meet mean friend dogs and they're not going to have fun. No, this is a private walk with a private walker that WAG is this awesome service that actually runs background checks on all of their walkers, so you know that they're tip-top shape, top-notch dog walkers. They're safe. Your dogs are going to have a great time. And also, you can book these ahead of time, or maybe you need a quick walk right now. We're like, we need to get my dog on a walk right now. Do it right now. Yeah. You can go ahead and download the WAG app.
Yes.
Super easy. And you can schedule them for later or reoccurring or right now. It's awesome, and it pairs you with the closest walker, which is best for you. That way, you don't have to wait very long. And during your walk, you get to see what your dog's up to. You get like a text messages when your walk starts, and you can track where your dog is if you have the app.
Yeah,
so you can see where they're walking. That way, you're like, oh, don't go in that shady neighborhood. We don't like when you go.
Yeah, so that way you know your dog's being taken care of,
and you can you'll be notified if like the dog pees or poops, and you also at the very end
is important, so you know what you need to take care of later. When
exactly,
you get home, if they need another little walk just to get some of the
main goal of walks is sometimes just getting poops because you don't want.
Yeah, if they don't get the poops, you're like, I'm gonna have to do another walk later.
And actually, at the very end, this is the part that I think is really cool, and I appreciate it because I've actually used this. You get a report card of how the walk went. Like, was it a good dog? Was it a good walk? Yeah. How far they went? Everything like that.
How's their math score?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they learning the right words in English?
Yeah. How good are they at Spanish? Picking it up, because I do want a bilingual dog, and I've been working.
Who doesn't?
I know exactly. And it just, I love how easy this is to use, and how like just safe I felt. Like having one of these walkers come and take my dog, because I knew they cared, they're legitimate, and I appreciated it.
Guys, WAG is a must-have for every dog owner. Give WAG a try. Your life gets easier. Your dog will be happier and healthier with the extra care. You can download WAG at the iTunes Store or Google Play Store.
So that's everybody.
Search for WAG Walking. Mm-hmm. Sign up before the end of today's episode, and you'll get your first walk for free.
What? Why wait to make your life easier and your dog's life happier?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Download WAG and sign up today.
What is that? Today.
Ready?
And on three, we're going to 1, 2, 3, download.
Today.
Perfect. But anyways, in the classic style of Only Stupid Answers.
And only us. We're the only ones that do this.
Uh-huh. We're going to do a non-spoilers review first.
Yes.
Roxy?
Never heard of that before.
No. We workshopped it for a while, and I think we landed on a good, like, structure of the podcast.
Cool. Nobody else is allowed to use it.
No.
Copyright.
There's at least four lawyers that we have on retainer that are going to take you down.
Listen, we don't have ads for nothing, all right? We need to be able to afford those four lawyers.
Yeah, there
said
you go.
Four, but he held up three. It was wildly confusing. Yeah.
Oops.
Only four lawyers.
I don't handle the money.
That's one of the lawyers.
Roxy, what do you think of Wonder Woman?
I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. I can't keep it inside. Honestly, I saw it as I went to a screening 2 weeks ago, and these past 2 weeks have been really hard on me.
Yeah, I bet.
They've been really hard.
Yeah, they've been really hard on me, too, because it feels like everybody's fucking seen that movie.
Our friends. It was making us mad.
Nobody knows what I've been going through. But honestly, it was like, I just need people to see this so that I can start talking about it.
Right.
It is so good. We'll break it down, I'm sure. But in general, I thought that the sound was great. The look was great. The performances were great. The direction was great. The reveals were great. Yeah. Everything in that film, I was like, check, 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 check.
I agree. I really agree. I have not had a movie experience like that because it's the first time it really recaptured that sense of like going to a theater and having an experience. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, the audience was into it. My wife went with us, and she was really into it. And it's just a really, like, cool, profound moment that I openly cried a couple times.
Ooh, I can't wait to get into that, because I definitely teared up many times.
Is open cry different than closed cry?
Openly, like, not
tears
even
are shooting out?
Yeah, not even pretending like it's not happening. Like not beyond teared up, like, crying. Like, tears hitting my shirt, like, that kind of a moment.
Weeping.
Ooh, the actual teardrops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I thought, and it's also amazing to go see one of these franchise superhero movies and have it just be a movie, like function like a movie. Like, you don't have to worry about 15 other projects that are connected to this movie. Like, you could just go and watch this cold and it would still be just as great. Like, you could have released it like 10 years ago, just as great. 10 years into the future, still be just great. Like, I it made me happy, man. It made me happy. This might be my favorite movie of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Get Out.
I know. I was thinking about today. I still think it might be my favorite movie. I think I might, of overall, I think this movie might be a little bit more tonally stable than Get Out. I know.
Interesting.
And I love Get Out.
That was such a good pun moment, yeah. though. Because he said Wonder Woman, he's like, oh, Get Out.
Yeah.
Now, Sam, you hated Wonder Woman.
I did. I stormed out, I believe, at one point. No, I loved it. Like, it was an amazing movie. Everything about it, from the start of it, like, where you get, like, and I'm going to say a few, like, beats, but without spoilers, of course. Yeah. But when you get your intro leading us into the movie, I love that because it kind of showed you, like, oh, there's other stuff going on right over here, but we'll get to that later and, like, in future movies or whatever. Also, she's got one of the coolest jobs. Like, I thought that was one of the coolest jobs, which we'll get into in a little bit. But, like, from Baby Diana, adorable.
Yes.
And just seeing all these really strong characters supporting her, I had to look up. I brought up the IMDb just so I could say it. Wright, Robin Wright's character.
Yeah.
Antiope? Robin Wright.
Yeah.
She was amazing. I loved, like, her connection as an aunt, which was a really cool thing of Hippolyta and her.
Yeah.
Connie Nielsen killed it as her mom. But also, I think, not only did Gal Gadot kill it, like, I was very kind of on the fence. I was, like, nervous.
Gadot, so they don't yell at us.
I've listened to this 1,000 times. It's not. It's Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Gal?
That. Gadot.
No, you can't. It has to be one or the other. If I'm saying Gal, I'm saying Gadot. If I'm saying Gadot, I'm saying
Gal. Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
I literally have watched her interviews and stood in front of the mirror and nailed. I nail it.
Yeah.
That's how I nail.
Trust me.
I nail Killer Croc's name.
Yeah.
Adewale Akinoye Agbaji, because I had to do the same thing. I was like, oh man, so many vowels. Like, here we go.
That was tough.
From,
I'm not there.
Going further into this review, she will refer to as Gal.
Gal. Just to save time.
She's our gal pal.
Yeah, our gal pal.
But something like her journey, her arc throughout this entire movie had me captivated.
Yep.
And her supporting cast, this movie did such a good job of fleshing out everybody. Chris Pine, the character named Sammy, the Irishman, and Chief, because I'm going to have to refer to them as that because it was hard to keep track of everyone's names. Yeah. But also, like, I like there's a little bit of campiness with some of the villains that I actually really enjoyed. Some people have criticized it, but I thought I just. It was fun. It was actually fun, and I enjoyed that this movie could have some fun.
Etta Candy.
Oh, yeah, and she's Dawn from she's from Shaun of the Dead, but also Dawn from the original Office, which I thought that was really fun because I did some research.
I thought she was perfectly executed because sometimes with the comic relief characters, it can be like, all right, that's plenty of that. But she the comedy in this, the humor in this is perfect because it's not jokes. It's stuff that like springs out from the characters and the situations naturally. It's not like we have a joke quota we need to hit.
And the execution of a lot of Wonder Woman's like lore and mythology was executed in such a cool way. They take her origin been a little all over the place, but the way they handle it in this is very tasteful. The way they introduce like the lasso and the armor and just, and also as soon as you saw Paradise Island, Themyscira, it was just like, oh God, this is so cool. It was just like seeing Krypton for me in Man of Steel. It's like, okay, I've never seen this before on screen. This is really cool.
Yeah, for me, I actually thought Themyscira was cooler than Krypton because watching Man of Steel, it's like, this doesn't feel like a place to me. Like, I don't believe people live here. Whereas with Themyscira, it's like, I feel like this is a society. Like, even just having animals, like the white peacocks and the yaks.
Yeah.
I thought it was infinitely cooler. And the juxtaposition of that and our world was so strong that it made everything pop 10 times more, which I thought was perfect.
Should we get any spoilers?
Is there any final thoughts? Anything you want to say? Because people are waiting. They're standing outside the theater right now listening to this podcast, waiting to know if they should go in there or go return their tickets.
Oh, just go. No, go. Just go see it all the times. Go see all the, because this is the, if you're like me, this is the superhero movie you've been waiting for.
Oh, and but seriously, like a lot of people are like using it as like some way to like fix the DCU. Just don't think about that. Just like go enjoy the movie for what it is. Yeah. It's awesome.
I think if you're not sold on it at this point, you need to take a good long hard look in the mirror and figure out what's going on that you are so anti this film after hearing everybody love it that you're not walking into that theater.
I'm a little worried that we're overhyping people, but I was worried about that because I was hanging out with Mark and Draco. We were on movie fights together and he was all about it. I'm like, dude, you can't, don't, because if I go in with these expectations, like there's no way it can live up to it, and it did.
I wasn't totally worried about overhyping it at all because I don't think you can.
Yeah,
I don't think you can.
Just know the action, the music, the cinematography, the colors.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so pretty. It's and such a pretty movie.
The plot. The story.
Yeah. And not only, not only is it a great superhero movie, almost in a very different way, but almost like The Dark Knight, it's also just a really solid war movie. It's the most hopeful war movie you will ever see in your entire life.
You see the worst of war, but at the same time, you're like, maybe it could get better.
Yeah. It's also great, like you were talking about before, you don't have to have read a single comic book, seen another movie in the DCEU or any other universe, seen a movie ever of any quality at any point, read anything. So I think that's pretty cool about this film.
Absolutely.
That stands alone like that.
Go see it.
So good. Also, if you're just a fan of Greek mythology, I mean, that was a big when they do an exposition piece in this where you're like, what is this? And then like the way they use it, they use hint Renaissance art. And I'm like, this is really cool. So let's score it real quick. You had a great scoring method.
I think it's been 75 years. Wonder Woman's been around for 75 years.
Happy birthday.
So out of 75, what would you give it out of 75? Classic, easy to do. Roxy. You're our guest. We're going to put you on the spot.
You guys always make me start, man. okay, so I'm trying to figure out. I think I give it a 69.
Solid.
Which I did, great number. Honestly had nothing. It just was the number that came out. Oh my God, I can't even. Like I almost.
No, it's fine. 69. Where, it's set in stone. Mm-hmm. You can't. No changes.
No changes.
I'm gonna do 73 because it's pretty much almost perfect. I'm sure there are things that could have done better. I don't know what they are, but so 73,
which
is a solid A.
69 is a solid A, right?
Yeah, solid A. If that's a solid A, I think I'd go with like a. I'm flip flopping my head. I think I'd go with like a 67 or 68 just because it's. I still say that's like an A minus. Someone's going to do the math and say that's wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm
right
saying,
now.
Oh, crap. Oh, no. But, math is not my strong suit. But because we will get into the spoilers right now, and I will say the only two nitpicks, and this is me like having to pull like tiny little threads out of this movie that I found as critiques.
If you're doing a 67, you're giving it a B plus.
Ooh, a 68?
Let's check on that.
68? Yeah, I might have to go to 69. Hey, yo.
We just should have Roxy here all the time and do the math.
We need a math.
Oh, now
deck.
You're at a 90, so you're just at an A minus.
Okay, 68.
So now I feel like I have to go up then.
No, we just said you can't go back. It. 69. It's too perfect.
He just moved his.
That's a good like point. You know what? That is a good point. That is a good point.
I'm at a 92. No, I think that's exactly where I would put it. Maybe I'd put it at whatever makes it like a 93.
There you go.
69.
That's usually my go-to. When Sam throws me a number, I'm like, whatever would equal whatever the letter is. Yeah, whatever.
And then we pick a number. Yeah. And then we assign a number. Okay, that sounds like it's a good movie.
Yes, it sounds like everybody and their mom should go see it. So go see it.
If we were to get a quote on the back of the Wonder Woman DVD and Blu-ray, what would you want it to be?
Solid 69, Roxy Stryer.
Well,
it wouldn't be that far off.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, let's move into spoilers.
Speaking of 69, hold on. I gotta say, that has to be, this for a superhero movie, this has to be the most romantic kiss I've ever seen in a superhero movie ever in my entire fucking life. Like that
is
scene
that
in the bedroom, I was like,
"No, probably not."
Well, we're in spoilers. We did the spoilers.
Oh, is that what you're going? Oh, okay.
Threshold?
You made it sound like you were going back for a second.
Yeah,
No. I was just saying. Speaking of 69.
Oh, okay.
Very tasteful.
Okay. Now we're spoilers.
I believe he said, "Wait a minute."
Yeah.
Speaking of 69.
Uh-huh.
Which
because you were
going
to go with someplace else. You were going to go with nitpicks, and I just wanted to say,
No, I wasn't going to go right off the bat. I can't go to the negative. You got to say all this shit that you love, like the action. Because when she goes to no man's land, that's when I started tearing up. I was like, "Holy shit, this is the most passionate." A hopeful action scene I've ever seen.
When she goes, climbs out of the trench, like full armor, which by the way, great job. That's the first time we see it in the movie. And it doesn't, sometimes when they're like, hey, we're going to hold off the costume reveal till later. It's boring. It's so boring.
Yeah.
Not in this movie.
Yeah, because it was awesome because we had gathered the parts of the costume and seen little bits. Like with her headpiece, which was her aunt's, with her sword and where she got that. So then I feel like we had earned this reveal. And that was an amazing moment. But it's interesting because I hear some people saying they wish they hadn't seen it in the trailer. But I feel like part of the reason they got people to see this movie was because of that moment in the trailer.
Yeah, and it's still just as cool in the theater.
Yes.
If I were to nitpick, one of the things I would nitpick is in some of the action sequences, some of the CGI is not the best. However, every time I was kind of like, it would always be saved. Patty Jenkins would do like a shot that was just beautiful. Like there's a shot where she's blocking turret gunfire with her shield, and arcing around her, and it's like, oh, that's dope. Yeah. So even if there's a moment where you're like, man, that CGI is, man, it'd be immediately followed by like, that looks amazing, just because of shot composition. Like she's so good.
I feel like they had to like hit her shield with some kind of physical thing, or like, unless she's really good, or they put like a motor in there, because the shield is like ricocheting off of like, or it's like reverberating off of the bullets thing, and I'm like, they, that's so cool.
Gal's really wonderful.
Cap doesn't do that. Cap just holds it and just ding, ding, it bounces off, and it's like, no, make it seem like she's strong, obviously, but it's like, make it feel like a physical thing is happening to her, not just a CGA garbage something. If I were nitpicking, there are some times when like the story just dips just a tiny bit, like, not that it's boring and not that I need action, it's just like I don't know where we're going exactly, but it picks back up and then you're back in it again. Yeah. And it does, now that I keep thinking about it, because it's been like a day or two, there's a lot of slow-mo. Like a lot. That's another, and that's a lot of slow-mo.
Like every superhero movie does that now. It's a pet peeve of mine. I'm not a fan. The one time it was really dope is when she's fighting Danny Houston, and she like blocks. He tries to hit her with a sword. She blocks it with her wrist while she kicks him in the face. And it's like, that's when you use slow-mo. Uh-huh. That was dope.
I thought all of it that was used in Themyscira was amazing, because it actually showed these people doing wild shit with their bodies. Mm-hmm. And like every time I see somebody do a flip or a move or go off of the shield and go up, that was like, you got to slow this down for me because I want to watch it 15,000 times.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments is when the callback to the shield thing, when Steve's like, shield, because it's one of those that like, he was paying attention.
He was? Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay, now, because actually thinking about it, I was like, why would he think to do that? Like, why was he? Yeah,
he
I'm
was
like,
paying amazing attention, and that's so cool because he wasn't threatened by the fact she was able to do it, and he didn't think he could do it instead. He just was like, I know this is something you can do because you're a rock star, and let's lift you up.
Yeah, all their scenes together were great. It's just great. It was just every time. Like, I love, one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie is when they're on the boat first leaving Themyscira.
I think it's my number one favorite.
It's such a great, the dynamics of it are so great because they're both figuring each other out, but neither one's trying to like assert any sort of dominance. And it's also the first time you get an understanding of Wonder Woman. Diana is naive to the way of man's world, but in a very endearing way, because she's not stupid. She's very, very smart. She's just been living on the one island for however many years she was on that island.
In a bubble, by the way, visual effects-wise, when the German soldier reaches through to Themyscira, so cool. That was just like, I was like, oh my god, that's how it would work, right? That's how the magic would work. That's so cool that you're doing that. Also, favorite scene, when they leave the war room, and they're like, you're not going to take me. Like, she's pissed, rightfully so, because she doesn't fully understand how these politics work and whatnot. But when he grabs the lasso and puts it around his hand, and he's like, I'm telling you the truth. And you get a little comedy out of that, because he's like, oh, we're going to die. But also, there's just like this really cool trust moment where it's like, no, believe me, like, we're going to do this. It's just, we have to do it a certain way.
Yeah.
I love it.
That was another, he paid attention. He remembered that she had that, and he needed to prove himself.
And an example of, like, this is how you do comedy in these movies, man. Like, it's, we've already established the lasso of truth tells you the truth. So even if you don't want to say it, you're saying it. So it establishes a bond between them, and it's also funny because it goes to the deeper part that even no matter how much of a badass you are, you freak out. Everybody freaks out, man. And so he starts freaking out,
especially during a time of war.
It's
scary. One of the scariest, because World War One is strange because it's the first real modern war, so there's a lot of elements that are like old, like medieval. Like if you go back and you research it, it was fought like a medieval war on every front, but they had guns, and they had, this first time they had planes. So it's this,
and
really
napalm gas.
This really weird, messy hodgepodge of like how wars have been fought forever. It's a nightmare. World War One's a nightmare.
By the way, at the end of this, I do want to do like a little prediction of what we could do in like a sequel, because I just had an idea.
We don't call this podcast only stupid answers for nothing. We answer your questions.
Did you have any nitpicks with it, Roxy?
I think that the first act was the strongest, and
in Themyscira.
Yeah, and that is not a nitpick. It set me up for the rest of the movie, because no matter what they did from that point on, I was like, I'm in. I trust you guys. I love this film. But I don't think I say that frequently, that the first act of a film is the strongest. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that means going forward with this film. So I loved the second act. It was the first act was the strongest for me, then the next one, and then the next one. Yeah. So, but I still loved the ending. Does that make any sense?
Of course. Yeah.
I was worried with the ending. We're jumping all around. But I was worried with the ending that it was just going to be a CGI garbage fest. Which to a degree, like I know people are saying that's what it is. I found it a lot more. This is the first time in these movies for a while that I really felt the stakes. Like I really like the personal stakes. Not that, because there's always, oh, the world's going to die, so like Steve needs to stop again. There's always those stakes. But and it's little things. I liked that when Ares won, I love that it was David Thewlis that was...
Great reveal. And what kind of sucks for me is somebody kind of brought that up to me. And I don't know if we were talking about that or somebody else did.
We even talked about it at SourceFed. So that was something that was being rumored like a long time.
Well, no, Ares, but the reveal that it was him.
Yeah, and even that. Like, I remember, like, anyway, whatever.
I just thought it was a bit of a bummer that I knew... going into it that David Thewlis might be Ares. Yeah. And I was like, that kind of sucks. I thought it was Danny Houston and we got rid of him. Once we got rid of him pretty quick, I was like, no, clearly he's not. Yeah. And then like it kind of confirmed it for me. Mm-hmm. But his whole deal of like his reasoning behind everything, his relation to the other gods. And I like that he's killed them. Like that's why they're not around anymore. Like it kind of sucks that we don't get to see Poseidon.
Don't worry about them for future Justice League movies because they all gone.
Yeah, they're very, very dead.
They go bye-bye. Uh-huh. But sorry.
Oh, keep going.
For the final, like when you're able to see his face through Ares' armor. By the way, dope that it was made up of all the bombs and more stuff. Like that's just
coming together. Yeah.
Just the finale was very human. The stakes were very human with all the epic shit. I appreciated that.
There was another moment to me that I feel like missed the mark slightly, and I wonder if going back and seeing it a second time will help me with it. But after she kills who she believes to be Ares, mm-hmm. and she leaves her sword up there, and then she goes down and she meets who is actually Ares, and then there's like that weird, there's a weird cut there mm-hmm. where she doesn't have her sword.
She goes to reach for it.
And she didn't take it, and then she goes to fight him, and it's like, why did you leave your sword? Why don't you have your sword? I understand you think you did what you had to do with it, but don't do that. Yeah. And I'll be interested to see how it plays for me the second time. It kind of was like, okay.
I was very surprised when she went to go stab, once we found out who Ares was and he melts the sword. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
like that caught me off guard. Man, I really like this movie.
Yeah.
Really like this movie. So the first act was your favorite. We start in Themyscira. We get to know Diana's history, growing up, how she was trained, the fact that the Amazons are fucking dope.
The dopest. That was the first time I cried. The dopest,
yeah.
I'm just watching them train.
Yeah.
I don't think people can understand, like, I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said. Everybody can understand. I was so moved in this moment. I was like, I've never seen this. I've never had something to relate to like this. I've never watched a bunch of women doing what I've seen men do in millions of movies. Yeah. So it was such a crazy experience. I just started kind of crying. I was like, whoa, that's weird. We're like 5 minutes into this film, man. Chill out.
Yeah, and I love that there's no part of this movie that feels like preachy, like, of course, because we're women or whatever. It's just they take it for granted that, like, yeah, of course women could do this. Because, duh, of course, don't be stupid. Of course they could. Like, especially, like, women that were created by the gods specifically to, like, create world peace, basically. Like, yeah, you don't need to make a big deal of it because it's the 21st century, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not, so cool.
Not in this movie, but for us watching it.
And I love the way they handled the scene where it's like, it's no man's land. Like, no man can cross it. Instead of, like, Supergirl season one did a lot of this, and it's like they're like, "Ooh, because I'm a girl," and it's like, "No, you don't need to say that." Like, it's just it's equal, equal, and it's like, and her whole reasoning is like, "I just can't. There's no way that I can stand by you. Made me skip a crying baby, someone who's been like who's lost an arm. Like, there's no more. I can't cross this line. I need to do something about it." And it's just so fucking epic.
And that's something that really surprised me because I enjoy Gal. As we decided to call her, and like she was great in the Fast and Furious movie. She was one of the best parts of Batman v Superman. But in those movies, if you collected all the scenes from all those movies I just mentioned, it's maybe 30 minutes of screen time. So I was like, is she gonna, how how is she going to do in this movie? She's great. She's so great.
Doesn't
she's
it just... make so much more sense, though, in BVS why people are like, she's a little stoic. She's kind of cold. Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you
she thought she saved the entire world from Ares, and then we had another war.
Yeah, another... The
world
biggest...
war.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would be a little pissed, too.
Yeah. So yeah,
I wouldn't believe anybody. Why would you trust anybody after that?
Right.
Yeah, but the range of emotion she shows, the humanity, she's such a relatable figure in this movie. Like, I really understand her as a person, and like, what motivates her as a person, and I really find her very likable. And a lot of that is her interactions with Steve Trevor.
Ooh, he's so good in this.
Yeah,
I love that. See, like, Hell or High Water in this, I'm like, yeah, Chris Pine's like a serious, like, he's a seriously good actor.
And this means war.
Oh, I've not seen that. Oh, you mean the one with Tom Hardy?
Let's not underestimate
this.
Let's
have an episode
war.
About This Means War.
Uh-huh.
We can all watch it.
Yeah,
there we go.
I advocate for that movie all of the time. I think it's awesome, and I actually think you can see his chops in it, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know if I put it on level with these films.
One of the things that disappoints, that I find depressing with situations like this, it's the same thing with Major from iZombie, because now Major from iZombie and Steve from this movie are my perfect examples of how to utilize a love interest. And it bums me that it's both dudes.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't, I mean, because it's great because he's clearly not the lead, but he's cool with her being the lead, and he's useful. Like, he's not a piece of shit. Like, he's able to accomplish stuff, and it's like, why?
I think it's because they both have the same goal, and that is something that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we see opposing goals, and that's where the love interests get to be weird. And in life, usually you and your significant other have similar goals.
Yeah.
That's how it works. But on these shows, it's always like, but no, I can't. I won't. It's not how I feel.
Yeah.
Wow, who do you think I was just being? I'm not sure.
Let us know in the comments now why.
But I think it is interesting because Major and Liv very much so have the same goal. And in this film, they do too. Now, the way they go about that, their goal is both to stop this war.
Yeah.
But they have different methods.
Yeah.
Which is why I think he was so strong as a secondary character.
Yeah, and I just feel like there's no reason Lois Lane can't be this badass in a Superman movie.
They
and
like
just, I don't
oh,
know
they
why
they utilize her so poorly.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
She's all
and
over the
place.
It's
not Amy Adams' fault. She's very talented.
No, she's wonderful.
And it's like why can we figure out this with the guy love interest, but women love interest for some reason? It just baffles us.
Now, the rebuttal to that I've heard 1,000 times is people saying, but she is damsel in distress in a lot of these comics, and that's how she has been played. So they're just being true to the comics.
Which is also supposed to be a badass world-class reporter. Like, basically, she should be fucking Indiana Jones, and he's Superman.
It's also 2017.
Yeah.
So
we don't need to be pulling from the 60s.
Right.
Yeah. I'm tired of having to explain to people why I think Lois Lane's such a cool character and being hampered by the depictions of her in like cinema. And
yes.
It's like, no, but you don't understand. She's so cool. Well, but this time she had to get sick. I know, but like,
it's very similar to the problems that they have with Iris West, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. She can be real cool. Like, she's pretty cool with Bart in like the 90s comics, like being like this like really cool, like she's like, there's time travel involved and she knows future events. It's like, this is cool. Like, kind of like an Oracle character.
And it's
because
also,
she's a reporter. She's a journalist.
Yeah.
She is supposed to be very, very smart and good at this stuff.
The one that doesn't really struggle with this is Catwoman, because she's an antagonist. So just by the very nature of the relationship, she gets to have her own agency. Like, that's just how that's defined, you know, because she's the bad guy a lot of the time.
How much do you think that movie helped or hurt us getting to this point?
Catwoman?
Yeah. Catwoman.
It didn't.
Oh, man.
It didn't help.
It probably did hurt, even though it shouldn't have hurt. Like, they shouldn't have looked at that and be like, this is why we can't do Wonder Woman. Because they're so different. The goals of those movies would have been so different. Like,
but I guarantee you those words were uttered at some point.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Same with Elektra.
Yeah.
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 I know we made.
Supergirl,
I know.
Yeah.
I've seen parts of the original. That's a rough movie to get through.
I know we've just phoned in this movie as a blatant cash grab, but I'm pretty sure it didn't do well because it was a woman.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't because we didn't. It wasn't because we didn't try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we got some.
Story.
Oh, sorry. We got some tweets here that I wanted to read.
Read
real
those
quick.
Tweets.
Because I think we all agree with Matt Ray at Matthew Ray. Did you guys get emotional during the No Man's Land scene? Come on, guys, be honest. Yeah. We don't teared up. I'm pretty sure.
Duh. I'm a human. Uh-huh. I have a heart and a soul, man.
My big cry thing, that I got emotional for that. Mm-hmm. My big cry moment was when Steve is flying away And there's the shot where they push it on his face, and then
he has to come to terms.
Yeah, Diana remembers, was able to, and so well, little things, little like staging things to make what should be really rote very, very interesting. Like the fact that he's talking to her, she can't hear because of the bomb, and then she remembers it later, and it was like, this never happens for me anymore in the superhero movies, because they go through the motions of having characters that you care about, but I don't like, I don't see anybody in Guardians of the Galaxy as a person. They're all just joke machines. So when you kill off one of them, don't care.
I'm offended.
When they did the pan in on Steve's face and he sacrifices himself, it was just like, I cried because it was, yeah. I was very attached to their relationship. I was very attached to what he meant to her and how they could have grown together. And the fact that he is coming to terms with the fact like, yeah, I might be awful too, but I can do this.
There's a couple of things about that moment that made it so strong and made it the perfect choice. Number one, starting with the fact that we weren't going to see him in the other movies anyway,
yeah,
because she ages differently than he did.
Yeah, 100 years. She's been in Man's World for 100 years.
Right, because a lot of people I saw tweeting being like, but why does he have to die? I wanted him in the sequel. And unless they were planning on doing a sequel that was in the 20s,
yeah.
I mean, like, what are we talking about here? Yeah. So I thought that it was really important. Number two, what I loved about that moment, like you're saying, is that it so easily could have just been them having a conversation, then we see him go and die. But I loved that it wasn't just the bomb. It was everything going on around her. There was a lot going on. She's getting used to this world, and she's just not there. She can't hear him. She can't fathom. She can't whatever it is. And then I was wondering if we were ever going to see that. Yeah. I thought, wow, that's such a bummer. We're just never going to know what happened there. Yeah. But then we did.
Yeah.
And that was perfect for me. I thought that was as strong as a moment in a movie could possibly be.
Yeah.
And I did tear up when she was talking about, like, you finally get to what, like the whole, like, cornerstone of who Wonder Woman is. It's love. And, like, when she's like, no, we don't need to like, when she does go crazy and starts, like, using soldiers to beat up other soldiers, I'm like, this is kind of cool. But but just story-wise, it was just
she literally
cool.
goes into God mode.
Yeah. It's so cool. Yeah. But just getting to that point, and it just made it there naturally. I didn't even know we were going to get there by the end of this movie. I didn't know that we were going to get to, because she's supposed to be kind of broken by the time Batman v Superman's happening. But no, this, we get the full arc, and we get to Wonder Woman by the end of the movie.
Yeah, I also really like, normally when there people are like, oh, Wonder Woman's about love, I'm like, yeah, sure. This one, like, it because it wasn't like a tacky love, like it wasn't a weak love, like it wasn't about
earned.
Like, yeah, it was about the I love that they use every part of the movie, every part matters, because there's a moment where it's like, I don't know, Dr. Poison's cool, her design is cool, her goals are cool, but I don't know how important she factors into, like, once you're in the final battle, you're like, was she kind of pointless? And then when he brings her up, of like, I love that it's, she's looking at another woman when he's kind of like, his example for men are evil, the man's world is evil, is another woman. So she's looking at Dr. Poison, and she's able to relate the fact that her experiences into that moment, and it feeds into her understanding of there isn't that much separation between the Amazons and man's world. It's just a different set of experiences. That's what I got out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too.
And
me
so
too.
When she says, like, I believe in love, it's just like you said, it's earned, and it's powerful.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Do you guys wish that she had said it back when Steve Trevor says, I love you?
We do, but I like that there was still, like, she's still traumatized. She's still trying to reel with getting hit by a god. And also, it's something that she has to deal with, like, moving forward.
Yeah. Also, yeah, and I'm glad that she didn't, especially since she couldn't hear him. It wasn't until after that she was able to, like, discern what he said to her. And so I'm okay that she did. Yeah, I'm okay with that little, like, that little missed opportunity, you know?
It feels real. But anyways, we have
more
tweets. We're
crying right now.
Sorry, it's just a moment of silence for Steve Trevor. But we have other tweets here. Ash, hashtag resist, at Astro Agama. People seem to be critical of Ares as a villain, but he was exactly what I wanted and expected. Is this Ares as he should be, / did you like him? Yeah, he was really, the way he was like, why am I the villain? Like, they're the ones doing everything. I'm just like, I'm doing what I do. I'm just like suggesting. It's like, like he just kind of blew the paper over to her so that she saw like this is the formula to make the super awful poison, whatever.
Yeah.
Or gas. And it's like, and he's like influencing Ludendorff, who actually is a real, he was a real World War One German general or whatever.
That was found on top of a watchtower, stabbed with a giant sword.
Weird. But no, he was one of those people that kept advocating that the war is not over. So I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting use of this character. But no, I loved him. And the, when he uses his fingers to make the eye holes, I was like, this is dope. He's actually really formidable, and I'm very scared of him right now.
That was a dope moment. Yeah.
What did you think of Ares?
I thought it was awesome. I just kept thinking, now that he's Ares, how do we see Ares? Like, when are we going to make Ares? Because because of Legos. Legos had released what Ares was going to look like in the next Lego. So I was like, wait, so he's got to have something on him. He can't just be this man.
Yeah.
And then when everything starts flying at him, my mind was blown. I was like, this is perfection. Mm-hmm. I'm all in. This is epic.
I also love that the movie flirted with being a horror movie when they revealed him. Like, he's on the other side of the glass, so you have the panes between them, and then she goes to the other side, and he's on the other side. And it just, and his whole, that actor's so tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, if we're picking nets, Danny Houston was kind of wasted.
Kind of.
Yeah, but.
Well, yes, and I think probably going back to watch another time, you won't care about his character
whatsoever.
Yeah, why would you care?
Exactly. Although, let's keep track of those pills that made him superpowered. Let's somebody keep an eye on those so other people aren't just like
sniffing them,
amping themselves up. But no, I liked his reasoning. It was actually a really perfect execution where you get a strong sense of the character without having to spend a lot of time explaining him. Like, the next movie is the one where we'll probably get a villain that like we really invest in. This one was just enough information that it really informed your lead character and made you care about them as an antagonist.
Fully agree.
No.
And I liked, and also you got a cool moment where you, I mean, mainly I really liked the moment in the very beginning. My favorite part of the first act is when you got to learn about the Greek gods and the way they used it. I mentioned it before, but just that art style and also just setting up what the world is like now. And hopefully we get like a resurgence of gods or something, or demigods, because demigods got to be everywhere,
or
right?
Or new gods.
Yeah. What?
I thought Roxy was going to say something.
Was she or was she not made from clay?
You know what? That's a question I have too, because the way he phrases like Zeus made you as a weapon, it's like did Zeus have sex with the mom? Like, because there's two, for those that don't know, there's a bunch of origins for 101. There's two main ones. One is she's literally made from clay, which is dope, and I'm a fan of that one. The alternative is that either Hercules or Zeus or Ares made her carnally with Hippolyta, and that story of the clay is what Diana's told.
That's what I think they're going for.
Yeah,
the latter. But obviously it's not Zeus's... Ares, because that's her brother, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think that Zeus and Hippolyta did the deed.
Yeah, and also she wouldn't be technically a god otherwise; she'd just be a creation. And she refers to Ares as brother, so I think you're right.
So I think that's where they're going, which will be an interesting reveal at some point during some movie that she realizes
we're
she's not made from clay.
Yeah, we're getting a sequel.
Oh yeah, Patty Jenkins has been referring to this as Wonder Woman 1 since the day that she started on.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let's look forward, speaking of that, let's look forward to the future a little bit. Terry Fournier at Terry F2104. With the success of Wonder Woman movie, are you guys more hopeful about the upcoming DCEU movies to come, especially Gotham City Sirens?
Well, that's David Ayer again, so not to judge just based on the director. I'm like not super excited about that, but maybe it'll be good.
I'm always hopeful about all superhero movies. I'm always hopeful that they will be good, that there will be a good thing. I'm excited for Gotham City Sirens because I don't think the biggest flaws of Suicide Squad are his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Margot Robbie chose him. It's Margot Robbie's movie. It's not David Ayer's movie. It's Margot Robbie's movie. She's the producer on it, and she chose him. So obviously there's a reason for that.
This movie didn't make me any more or less excited for that movie, though. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that movie. This movie made me more excited for Justice League, but this movie and that movie have all of the separation in the world between them.
Yeah,
so
although
I'm all in on that film, and I agree with you that David Ayer, I actually really like his work, and I think that the qualms I had with Suicide Squad were not specifically with him, but I am excited for that film because I'm excited to see Gotham City Sirens, not because Wonder Woman was good.
Yeah, although I would really like to see Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn and Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman interact.
Oh,
and
definitely.
And also, I'm very thankful Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, these may not be the Superman and Batman movies we wanted, but we have a really cool opportunity here where the strongest characters in the DCEU are both women. Mm-hmm. That's fucking cool.
That is really cool, mm-hmm. but I definitely thought the end of that sentence was going to be, but they're the superheroes we needed.
No. And that's the thing. And it's funny that with these big franchise things, I was actually talking to a buddy of mine about this, that it seems like the lower tier characters, the characters with less expectations heaped upon them, the Iron Mans, the Thors, the Wonder Woman's, Harley Quinn's, those characters, not the Batman, Superman, X-Men, Spider-Man, they tend to do better within this environment. And I'm actually really excited, like Aquaman's probably gonna be dope, you know what I mean? And so these, the other characters of the Justice League are gonna blossom in this, I think.
Yes, I'm a little worried because of where we live, that I just don't want to be blindsided again by something because of living in Los Angeles with like a very liberal group of people who are supportive of female films.
Yeah.
But I am a little worried because a lot of people were excited about where this film is opening up in the box office. But in my mind, Wonder Woman is as big of a character as Superman or as Batman.
Yeah.
And BVS blew this out of the water in the opening. So I'm kind of nervous that this is more in line with Doctor Strange right now, which obviously Marvel has more cred.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Wonder Woman and Doctor Strange.
Yeah. You make a good point. I do think this movie of, because you kind of think of, I always wonder with these superhero movies, how will they be perceived in some future point down the line? And I think this will be one of the ones, I think 90% of them will be forgotten because they're kind of forgettable. This movies like this, Avengers, those will be ones that like people remember. And I honestly just not only is it, like I said, not only is it a good superhero movie, it's just a good movie. It's just a good solid summer blockbuster.
Takes you through all the emotions, got some cool action, got a solid plot story,
and also has a theme that makes sense.
Yeah,
like a lot of times with what these movies are like, hey, here are two props, theme. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not how theme works, man. Like, that's not.
Of course, I fully agree. I'm just curious if people are gonna see it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do.
You just don't think the overall numbers will be there?
I'm thinking they will, because I'm thinking positively, but I'm hoping with everything that was happening with the screening stuff, have you guys talked about that at all? The all-female screenings that were going on?
No, we didn't talk about it. Yeah.
It's dumb.
It is dumb, but there are people out there. I mean, the guy that wrote that email to the mayor of Austin that was like, I'm no longer coming to your city based on this and whatnot, and what have females ever invented in their entire life? And
wow.
It was unbelievable. It was the best email ever, but there's a lot of support for that guy, so it does make me worried that people won't see a female driven film. And I think it's really, really important to get out there and see it within the first two weekends. Mm-hmm. If you are somebody who,
and even if you're at home and like, why is it important to see a female driven film? It's important to support a good movie, so go support a good movie no matter who made it or why they made it or who they made it for, because it's just good.
Exactly.
It's just good. Exactly. No, I'll give you some good news, Roxy. Someday, those people will all be dead.
That's true.
That's what you hope.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but someday we will too, man.
Yeah, but like that's a dwindling number of people. Because there's no, like even if you, I'm a dude, and I think like a dude. Mm-hmm. And so if I were to communicate with my most dude aspects, you're telling me I get a kick-ass action movie that stars an incredibly beautiful person? Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give you all the money. But please, that was a thought that ran through my brain. It's like, why aren't all action movies led by just beautiful women? Because this is amazing.
Cool.
I don't get it.
Whatever it takes to get people into it, I'm down.
Yeah, like I don't.
It's just a fun promo. Also, it's just a fun promotional thing. There was literally no reason to have any backlash whatsoever.
No.
You're gonna go see the movie any other time. This is just one special event. Yeah. One. It's like. For me, it's just like if you got mad that a fan screening happened and you couldn't get tickets to it for some reason. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to actually be frustrated about this in any way whatsoever.
The dumbest argument I saw was on Instagram, because you know you can post multiple pictures in a row. And it was this like, well, what if Spider-Man had a men-only screening? Or what if Thor had a men-only screening? Or what if this movie? And it's like, you're just proving why a female screening matters, because there's so many male-centric movies.
My entire life is a man-only screening. screening. Yeah, like that is.
How did you not realize this while you were making this stupid and dumb
it's
joke?
It's one showing. It's
two or three now.
Yeah.
It's a shame that no men are able to see Wonder Woman. It's a shame Sam and I are just guessing.
Yeah. We actually haven't seen it.
You did such a good job for guessing. Yeah.
Thank you
really
so much.
Impressed. Did you read an article somewhere?
And we had to written by a woman because they're the only ones allowed to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, those women though, but they've never invented anything. So
it's a shame.
I'm surprised they were
it's a real shame.
That, yeah.
They'll be dead. They'll be dead because guess what? A woman brought you into this world, and
I thought you were going to say, and they can take you out of it too.
You know what?
Apparently, with the mascara, they can.
Yes, they can.
Now, what? Iqbal at. I'm just going to spell it IQBALUIUSHASAN.
A lot of letters.
I have no idea.
What was your favorite part of the movie? I think we should. I would like to see if we can give a definitive one. You did, but I'd like to see if we can give a definitive one. What would you like to see in the sequel? If she gets one, it's going to get one. So what was your favorite scene? What would you like to see in the sequel?
Favorite scene, No Man's Land. I think the favorite part of it is when she's running through the town once she gets there. She's like, I'm gonna go ahead, and she is like blocking bullets, and then she gets hit by a grenade, and she's smacked into the wall, but she turns around and jumps through the window, and immediately there's no slow-mo there, there's no cuts, it's just one solid take, even though there's CG everywhere. But that was my favorite scene. I was like, this is so cool. She's so formidable. She's getting hit by everything right now, but she keeps going.
She literally takes out an army, a whole battalion invading a town. It's very cool.
And bullets can still take her out, but she's still better than that.
Yeah.
And then she takes out a whole church tower somehow. It just explodes. And some reviewer was like, no, you don't need to see the dead body. He's dead. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's very dead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it's weirdly that she takes out a lot of people, but it feels a lot less violent than either Man of Steel or Batman v Superman.
It does.
You're in a war. You're in one of the bloodiest wars in human history. And for some reason, it still feels less violent than Man of Steel.
I think with BVS, we had an R-rated version of that. So I think that it leaned on the more violent side anyway. Like Patty Jenkins said, there is no other version of this movie.
Yeah.
We will not be seeing additional footage. This is the movie that she wanted to make, and this is what actually got out there. So I feel like because of that, she had that PG-13 mindset going on. Or is it even
PG-13?
Yeah. She did say though that she's like, I would have been okay if we could have made it PG. It's just set in World War I, so that wasn't a possibility.
Right.
So it's because she wanted little girls to be able to see it.
Right.
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it kind of was PG.
There's some violence when it comes to the war stuff, just seeing glimpses of it, but overall
Nobody's gushing blood. Yeah, we've got some amputees, but that's
the sword goes
life.
Through Danny Houston and there's no blood on the other side of the sword.
Actually, the thing that got me the most is when they're first testing that gas on the one guy that's trapped in there, and then they yank them. You don't see anything, but then they yank the mask off. I'm like, that's rough, man.
Yeah, that's true.
That's shitty.
I mean, maybe I'd be a really bad parent, which is why I'm nowhere close to having children, but I feel like I would take a 5-year-old to see this. I've been getting a lot of tweets about this, actually. When I saw it earlier, people were like, can I take my 7-year-old, my 8-year-old, my 6-year-old to go see this film? Yeah. Roxy, what do you think? And that's a lot of pressure to put on something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I really don't know because I'm not a mother and I think I would suck at it. But I'd take my kid.
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah. I think you could because when I was a kid, I got taken to Batman Returns and my parents regretted that, doing that. I don't think you'd really...
That's Penguin Run.
Still traumatized by that nose scene.
That's still scary.
Yeah, still traumatized by that nose scene. No, I think you could take your kids to it. I'd say maybe...
What's the cutoff?
Around 10-ish.
Ooh.
Maybe man, like I seven. Maybe seven.
6-year-old.
I said my sister, I told her she's got he's 7 and then a 4-year-old. And I was
the 4-year-old.
I'm like, you can take the 4-year-old. He's got ADHD. He's not paying attention to anything. He's just like, oh, cool. There's colors and there's fighting and everything. They'll have a great time.
The color in this movie.
Yeah, man. It's
beautiful.
The way
they use color in this movie. Anyway.
Especially Themyscira versus the regular world. It is a paradise. It's amazing. Can get tan.
I don't know if this is my favorite moment, but one of my favorite moments is when after they save the town and she's talking to Sammy. I really like Sammy.
Yes, I was waiting for you to bring this up.
Yeah, and Sammy, he's like, nobody wants to be in the war. Like, I want to be an actor, but I can't be because I'm the wrong color. And he says, everybody's fighting their own battles. And I thought that was a perfect way to, it's like, yes, this is a woman, but what she represents is everybody. Everybody that's ever felt disenfranchised, everybody that's ever felt like they don't have a voice. And it's one of the reasons I love Superman. It's one of the reasons I love superheroes in general. That's what that represents. The superheroes are meant to represent the people that will stand up for you and nobody else will. And that's why representation in superheroes is so important, because they're supposed to be representing the people that are disenfranchised. You have a couple of them look like the disenfranchised. You know what I mean?
As relatable as a billionaire is.
not as a so white much. Billionaire man.
Who gets everything he wants. Yeah. I thought that was really strong. But another moment I thought that was really strong was when she was with the sniper who couldn't take the shot because he was struggling with PTSD, which they didn't hit you over the head with, but it was there. And I thought she was going to be like, then he's useless and we don't need him. But instead, she's like, what would we do without you? Who's going to sing to us?
I love that.
And that was so compassionate and so Wonder Woman in that moment.
Because she saw the part that he liked about himself and she emphasized that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you did bring up Superman. And I know that in a lot of interviews, Patty Jenkins said that Richard Donner's Superman was brought up a lot. And then I found an article that broke down to, like, actually a couple of scenes were borrowed from it. I mean, they were done differently, of course, but like the classic, the alleyway scene where she blocks the bullet and catches it. Amazing. But also, I didn't know that the revolving door, the bit where Clark gets caught in it, and I was like, oh, that's so cute.
I love the way she tagged, and they're trying to get the sword and the shield away from her. By the way, I like that the sword didn't matter that much. I'm not a huge fan of Wonder Woman using a sword. I think the bracelets and the lasso are enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of glad that the sword was not very important
at all. They said the God Killer was in there, but she's the God Killer, but like that's how she created her new persona to leave Themyscira. I thought that was kind of a cool, like, it's all in there, and it's like, oh, that's her whole outfit.
I've had some questions about the actual, her bracelets.
Oh, what do they do? Good question.
Yeah, I think that I feel like they have power of their own, but she has more power, and together they ignite. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm going to take that because I like that. Because I'm not quite sure what's going on with that.
Yeah.
The only closest thing I can think of that from the comics is it's implied that in Brian Azzarello's run, which is fantastic, people ask me, like, what Wonder Woman comic should I read? Wonder Woman Earth 1. And then Brian Azzarello's New 52 Wonder Woman.
Greg Rucka's right now is pretty good, but
it's good, except it completely dismantles Brian Azzarello's run, and I love that run. Yeah. But it was implied that the bracelets kind of held her back, so she wasn't destroying everything in a battle, like they were weighted. So, but I like your understanding of how the bracelets work, and that's canon now.
Okay,
And if they explore that in the sequel, I'd be down for it. But really quick, because we're reaching the end of this podcast, what would you guys like to see in a sequel? Because they've talked about it being more contemporary, like, so I'm guessing more present day, but I really like the idea if they went through different segments of war. I think it'd be kind of cool to see like a Vietnam era thing, because there's a lot of like it's not a great time in America. For Americans and like the world in general, but I would like to see what her take on it would be. Also, because of the jungle like theme, or like the setting.
Yeah,
there we go. I think Cheetah could be used in a really cool way during that. Also, Cheetah and her would be just. I really want to see that. That's her. That's her main antagonist for the most part. I would like to see that minus Ares, but
yeah.
Roxy? Everybody is talking about seeing Cheetah, and I think that would be great. I don't know how that would be utilized yet, though. I do like the idea of going contemporary. For a while, I thought we should go World War II after going World War I. But after seeing this film, I'm like, this was perfect, and I want to do something completely different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I want to explore more about her in the current world. I think we should go Justice League. Then Aquaman, we know, is taking place after Justice League.
Yeah.
And then right now, I think we should greenlight a second Aquaman film, a second Wonder Woman film now. Mm-hmm. This is the hot hand. Run with it now.
Yes. You've got a team that works.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, you got to win.
Film the next one. Put it in the slot that we just can't seem to fill. You know, we're Flash or Batman.
For some reason, those are taking... Batman's taking a long time to put together.
I don't ever need another solo Batman movie at least another decade.
It's coming.
You say for 15 reasons.
Yeah, but I'm bummed with the idea that they're going present day, because there was talk of her saying that, like, she's around for 100 years, so there's a lot of stuff you could cover. And after seeing this movie, I don't know if I see the disenfranchised Wonder Woman we get in BVS. I don't know. Like, she seems pretty, like, raring to go at the end of this movie. And so clearly something happens. And I was talking to Daniel Radford at Screen Junkies News, and
Harry Potter?
not Radcliffe. Radcliffe.
Okay.
Danielle Radford.
That's way different.
Yeah. Danielle Radford at Screen Junkies News. And we were talking about, like, maybe a 60s set Cold War spy, like, where, because there was a time where she lost her powers and she wore this like white mod jumpsuit.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Don't give me that.
I just don't like... There's some costume designs. I looked at all the Wonder Woman's because shit changes a lot.
Yeah.
I like the classic. I'm just a classic.
I love this costume.
I like your idea, though.
I'd like to see maybe a 60s spy movie Wonder Woman. And since she's working with like some sort of spy agency, maybe Checkmate, maybe early Argus, she could get her invisible jet.
I was going to say the jet would fit perfectly there. But I wonder what in the past she has done, because are we to think that after this film... it is get so bad that she goes into being Diana so deep that she doesn't come out again until BVS time? Or are we to think that she has been active for long?
Because it would be revisiting the same story. It would be the same thing we just went through of her like wanting to hide again, but she comes out again, and by the end of it, she's like, no, actually, I'm exactly where I was before.
Or she could be at the end of Wonder Woman, she could be saving the day in subtle ways. And then at the end of that movie, she's like, you know what? I'm kind of done with all this.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I do like about going back is that we don't have to dirty ourselves with all the other characters.
Yeah. And it's something they could do with Ben Affleck's Batman too, since he's been active for 20 fucking years. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like theoretically, like two of your main trinity could have movies that you don't need to worry about. Although I'm more interested in seeing Batman interact with other characters, since we have gotten a lot of Batman movies on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman, it's like, this is a good opportunity to let her track her own story. And by the way, there's no reason she shouldn't be the leader of the Justice League. She's clearly the most kick-ass. She's been around for 100 years. She's the most experienced. Like, I'm going to be bummed if it's like, oh, Batman's leader. Fuck you. It should be Wonder Woman.
Batman's not going to be as apt to let her lead as Chris Pine, though. Steve Trevor.
Which, and also, that's another thing. Like, people are like, oh, I want the Batman-Wonder Woman relationship. No, you don't. It's stupid.
No, it's not great.
Yeah, Batman should not be with Wonder Woman. That's dumb. That's Batman fan wank. Like, that's stupid. Nobody wants that, really. In your heart of hearts, you don't want that.
Being with Superman.
I'm not saying, I think, if Superman and Batman are allowed to have their own love interest, so can Wonder Woman.
Yeah, totally.
She's got plenty. Not just Steve Trevor. I thought they used it perfectly here.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
You want it to be Steve Trevor's grandson?
I do not want that. No, I do not want that.
Played by Chris Pine.
Let's put this on the record really quick. That whole Sharon Carter thing is very weird.
Yeah.
And that kiss at the end of Civil War really came out of nowhere.
It did.
Although I did like that movie.
The movie's great.
And I did like that scene, even though, yes, it is weird.
It was just like, and then kissing? No. And like, but their friends reacted in a way where you're like, yeah, this is okay.
Listen,
yeah, you're not a good friend.
Yeah, they live on another plane of existence where people are that attractive and they just kiss for some reason.
Like Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. I think we're getting near the end.
Yes.
Anything you'd like to add? Any last thoughts that you have of Wonder Woman?
I loved it, and everybody should go see it and spend all their money on it. And I'm going to go see it every weekend for the next month.
Also, I got a pin because we saw it opening night, and the pin's dope, and I have it in my car now. It's a little Wonder Woman W, and I put it in my car, and I kind of left it in my car, and it burned me bad. But I now know. I have that memory.
He has like branded on his skin the Wonder Woman logo.
Just feel honored that you got burned by Wonder Woman.
I know, right? I mean, if that happened in real life, I'd be like, guys, check this out. Rope burn. Look at this. Yeah. Roxy, any final things for Wonder Woman?
Insert some sort of pun about wonderful wonder of the world, Wonder Woman.
There's a challenge for you guys at home.
Roxy, for people that want to find you and see your stuff, where can they find you and see your stuff?
Yeah, I'm everywhere at Roxy Stryer, and that's where I tell you where my stuff is.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
She does so much stuff, she can't even just check out my Twitter.
I mean, it's annoying at the end of podcasts when somebody plugs like 15 different things, so I'll keep you up to date on the Twitter. If you like me at all, then go to my Twitter, and then I'll tell you.
Dude, fair enough. Guys, she does cool shit, all right? Go check her out, all right? got them. I threatened them. They're going to go check them out.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash.
Sam Basher on everything that matters.
Yeah. There you go to onlystupidanswers.com. We're dropping some cool interviews, and we've got some big plans for our Patreon where we do bonus episodes.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So patreon.com/onlystupidanswers.
Yeah. Keep an eye out on the Twitter because I'm about to put a poll out for the next movie night movie. It's really cool. Last time we did it, it was Kung Fury, and we had a great time. Yep. And I can't wait for the next one. No. Yes. It was really fun.
You like Kung Fury?
It's so stupid.
It's only 30 minutes.
It's the easiest movie to watch ever. It's not a movie. It's barely a movie. Yeah. It's a little longer than a short film.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of fun stuff coming down the pipe, so make sure you go to onlystupidanswers.com to learn more. Guys, let's all say thank you to Roxy Stryer on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Roxy
Stryer.
We nailed it.